Hello, friends, and welcome to Through These Doors, a Fame Recording Studios podcast. I'm your host, Rodney Hall, with Fame Recording Studios, where it all started in Muscle Shoals. And together, we'll be digging deep into the history of Fame Recording Studios and the Muscle Shoals sound, with the musicians, engineers, producers, and music insiders that have turned this small town into a music landmark known around the world. Welcome. Let's get it on.
All right. Welcome to the third episode of Through These Doors from Fame Studios. Today, we have a special guest with us, Mr. David Shaw. Welcome, David. David is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
How's it going, man? Good to see you,
brother. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. It's been a minute.
Yeah, too long.
I just want to introduce Dave. David is the lead singer of the rock band, The Revivalists. It's a soul rock band, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I'll put it like that many times.
I hear you. So David is a singer, songwriter, producer. He's about to release his first solo record. He's just released a double-sided single, Shaken and Promised Land,
from his
forthcoming solo album. David's work with The Revivalists has garnered the band two number one singles with All My Friends and I Wish I Knew You. When I was young, I always add that on there, people. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we should have put that in parentheses, I think.
Yeah, that's cool. So those records certified platinum. The band has released six albums and Made in Muscle Shoals, an EP was released in January that he did here at Fame Studios, which we were very proud to work on. The guys came in for a couple weeks and worked with us and had a ball. Matt Ross Spang was the engineer on that. He's a good buddy of ours and a great engineer. Okay. Then earlier this year, David came in with another buddy, Chris Gilbuda, and did some work on some demos for the record.
Yep.
Did any of that stuff end up on the record? Is it going to end up on the record?
So I think we're going to use one of the things that we did for like a special kind of a release. I don't exactly know how it's going to be released, but we're definitely going to use it. And I know one of the songs, it's not going to be on this record, but it's going to be on a record.
Yeah.
So it had this certain special feeling that I was like, okay, I'm almost need to like maybe craft an entire record around this sound. So,
right.
So it's going to come out at some point.
I hear you. Gilbuda is a talented dude, man. Love working with him. And he did a record down here with us. I can't get him to put it out.
Somebody's got to just get up in there.
I know.
Knock on his door.
Get the record out, man. It's been two
Come
years.
Come on, bro.
They're not going to beat the door down and get the record. Got to put it out there to the people. Right?
Just let it go. Let it go. Because the people want it.
I know.
It's
great to have you here, David. We had to reschedule this because of hurricane. Which hurricane was that? There's been so many this year.
Gosh.
Delta?
Honestly.
Is it Delta?
What was it?
Delta?
Delta, maybe. Yeah. Yes, I think it was Delta.
The hurricane hit New Orleans and David's power went out, so we had to reschedule this. Today. Yeah. So everybody okay? The family,
everything's okay. I got this humongous, massive pecan tree right behind the studio. And I was just like, I'm like peering out the window as this wind is just whippoorwilling everything. I mean, it's raining like a cow pissing on a flat rock. And this pecan tree, this thing it survived. I mean, it's old. I mean, it's big.
Yeah, those things grow slow.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's massive. And I'm just watching these branches just whip around. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, no. But I lucked out.
So was that your first one to ride out?
That was actually, yeah. I moved to New Orleans in 2007 to actually work on the cleanup after Katrina. And then we evacuated for Gustav. So Yeah, that was the first one I wrote out.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll tell you what, one thing, I won't talk too long about this, but when the eye of the storm passed over us, that was wild. The entire sky was pink. And you could tell it was a thing because like everybody in their house was out in the street just like looking at it because it's just like, it's so eerily calm.
I bet. Wow. I bet.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm all good.
Good deal. Well, our thoughts and prayers have been with everybody on the coast.
Yeah.
North Carolina, all up and down the coast have been affected by many this year.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We hurricane comes through and people start calling us in Muscle Shoals, making sure we're okay. And it's like, everybody thinks we're on the coast.
Oh, yeah.
There's six. Well, maybe,
do you get tornadoes from them sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We get winds and we get rain and winds, but we don't get people. But people think we're on the coast. That's something we have. People live in Nashville. They're like, "How far are you from Nashville? Like 6 hours?" Like, no, man, just 2 hours.
Right there.
Yeah,
right on the Tennessee River, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So you're originally from Ohio, right?
Originally from Ohio. Yep, Hamilton, Ohio.
Right on. Do you go back home much?
You know, I get home probably twice to three times a year. I do a little festival there, usually in September, called the Big River Get Down. It's, you know, kind of, they got a stage down there by the river. So I come back, do that, raise some money for the city. It's kind of like a homecoming. It's almost like a high school reunion every year. You know, me and my buddies get together. But yeah,
Sounds like fun. So growing up in Ohio, what was your musical influences, and was your family very musical?
You know, my mom and dad kind of sang in church. You know, but I gotta say that I kind of got my musical tastes from my sisters.
Right.
A lot of times, I mean, I can remember going in my sister's room and kind of, you know, sneaking through her CDs. And I remember looking at, one of the CDs that kind of caught my eye was Skeletons from the Closet, The Grateful Dead. And then another one was The Tool, Opiate. It was like a six track thing. And then also, I don't know where I got this. I don't even know how it showed up in my life. It was a cassette of Chuck Berry's Greatest Hits. And I would just play it on my little Fisher Price. I had this like small little Fisher Price, like that you could like carry, had a little handle on it. And you put a tape in it. I honestly think you could also record yourself on it. But I never figured that out.
Need an engineer.
Exactly. Where were you at, man?
But yeah, I think all of us that are lucky enough to have older brothers or sisters get a lot of our musical influence from those people. You know, my brother Mark was I got his hand-me-down records and so forth. But
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a good thing. My oldest brother wasn't into music.
Was Mark a songwriter?
Was, yes, he wrote "I Like It" for Tim McGraw, big number one record for
weeks.
Yeah, it's on some commercials right now. He's
that's awesome. That's a big song.
Every time Applebee's comes on, he gets a ka-ching.
Yeah, we're going out to eat.
Yeah,
Applebee's. Maybe. I don't know.
Definitely going to Applebee's.
That's right.
So you put out a double-sided single with Shaken and Promised Land, right?
Yep.
And you got an album coming out to follow that up?
Got an album coming out. We're hoping to have it, you know, kind of all nipped up here pretty soon. There's a lot of moving pieces and all this, you know, stuff. I think I just got most of the masters done the other day. So hoping March. That's what I'm hoping for. Hoping a full release the record in March.
Yeah, that's awesome. Looking. Yeah, I'm gonna play right now. We're gonna play Shaken, and let the folks hear it. It's a great track. Great track from David Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it, Spence.
Thank you, man.
Great
Thank
song
you.
And video. I've been in those your shoes many times. Like, I may get my ass kicked right here, but I'm going to stand here.
That's right, man. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, that's what I wanted to, you know, just portray with that video. Just like, you know, just, I wanted to speak to, you know, just like a younger generation, just to say that, you know, things might be, you know, not going your way, but you got what's inside, you know, to take you there, wherever you want to go. You just got to believe in yourself and believe in those things that might be a little bit different about you, you know, because those could be your calling card when you get older and grow up.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, and then kids today have, it's such a different place than where we were. I mean, social media and just, you know,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Gaming and things that go on. I mean, there's a lot of adults doing it too. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my. I mean, shoot, at the highest of offices.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So yeah, that's great, man. And that's out, at radio, Spotify, and all the streaming services, I'm sure.
Yeah. Everywhere. It's on the radio. I went to radio a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, it's everywhere.
Excellent. And the other track is, which is also a single, correct?
Yep. Promised Land.
It's Promised Land. Yeah, that's a great track too. It's a song.
Yeah, we cut a version of that there at Muscle Shoals last time.
Yeah, and it's about, you know, systematic injustice, which is everywhere, and what we're dealing with, and
yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, I just wanted to. It was actually written before, I mean, any of the George Floyd, Breonna Taylor stuff happened,
right?
But I mean, you know, it was, that stuff's been happening. You know, it's just, that's the thing. It's like, it's just, yeah. that's nothing new. So I really just, you know, we wanted to write a song and, you know, just be a voice, you know, to kind of push that needle for change in the way that, you know, we know how to do, you know, if
one person
hears that song and goes, you know, then that's really, you know, that's what art, that's what music's supposed to do.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many things going on. Just like what we were just talking about, social media, just it's a double-edged sword. It's so good in some ways and so terrible in others.
Oh my gosh. You got that right. I mean, honestly, man, it's one of those things where when I wake up in the morning, like I used to like pick my phone up and I look at it. I don't do that anymore. I just can't do it. Cause I know it really will shape my day. Like if I kind of let my morning unfold, do my things that I normally do, kind of just like be able to just get into the day slow, cook my breakfast, make my oatmeal, whatever I'm doing, you know, make a pot of tea, make a pot of coffee, just kind of check in with yourself before checking in with the entire world and see what's going on, you know?
That's a great idea. I mean, I need to take that up. It's,
I'm telling you, it's worked wonders, brother.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Spence, let's listen a little bit of Promised Land right quick. What's on my face here?
You're good.
Here we go, Promised Land, David Shaw.
Tell you love don't cost a thing. Your folks all got diamond rings, and they say it's the punch that you don't see coming. They can't hear me if I don't stop running. Y'all want they are, we do what they don't. We love how we live how they won't. We say what we say and we don't give a damn. We ain't living in no promised land. Till the day that we die, they drink from our cup. Sell us a lie when we buy it up. And I'm just a fool who understands. We ain't living in no promised land. We ain't living in no promised land. We ain't
living in a promise. They say work real hard and it all works out. From the penthouse suite or the spot uptown, I can hear the sound of the footsteps coming. Yeah, but they can't hurt me if I don't feel nothing, 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 nothing. We are what they are, and we do what they don't. We love how we live how they want. We say what we say, and we don't give a damn. We ain't living in no promised land. Till the day that we die, they drink from our cup, sell us a lie when we buy it up. I'm just a fool who understands that we ain't living in no promised land. No, we ain't living in no promised land. We ain't living in no promised land.
Land, love that.
Yeah, I just want to say something about that. So that's you know that's our boy Chris on the slide.
Oh yeah,
that's Chris on the bass. That's Chris on a lot of the guitar in there. Yeah, man, Chris Galbuta, crush. Yeah,
check him out. If you don't know him, he's a great songwriter, artist, producer. He produced Meghan Trainor's. What was the name of that record? Huge record.
I think
I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you like I'm gonna lose you.
I'm gonna love you. Love me like I'm gonna lose you. Yes. Yeah. That was a big one.
That and he's a talented boy. Love us.
Yeah, he is.
Love us some Buddha for sure. So, David, when did you first hear about Muscle Shoals, and how did that start seeping into your psyche?
You know, I gotta say, I first heard about it Sweet Home Alabama, Lynyrd Skynyrd song. I heard, hey, you know, yeah, Muscle Shoals got the Swampers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that was kind of my, and I always, you know, honestly, I always wondered, okay, what is that? What does that mean? I always kind of like, I was like, what are the Swampers? What is he talking about? You know, and then I moved down here to New Orleans, got the, you know, I kind of started getting into that because I grew up in the punk scene kind of, you know, I was doing, listening to all this stuff from New York City and, you know, London and stuff. And then I kind of graduated to like more like the metal kind of stuff. And then as I kind of got out of that and moved down to New Orleans, I kind of really started getting into a lot of stuff. Zach, actually, when we met, he burned me, was it a CD or was it a disc drive? I don't know. It might've been like one of those just like little thumb drives. He put like, I don't know, 600 songs on this thing and really just kind of, and I was just like, it was a bunch of stuff that, you know, I'd heard of, but not necessarily heard or really actually listened to. So I really had a chance to digest a lot of different kinds of music. And, you know, now here we go with Otis Redding, you know, and I know who that is, but like that was just not something that was totally in my wheelhouse at the time. Aretha Franklin. Oh my God. I mean, you know, so I came to it a little later in life, I will say, probably when I was 24 or 25. But yeah, man, I mean, come on, like that's hallowed ground.
I hear you. That's, you know, that's where most people had heard of Muscle Shoals was from the, from Lynyrd Skynyrd from Sweet Home Alabama. And they,
really?
and nobody knew what the hell they were talking about.
I know. Yeah.
Except us here in town knew because we just knew the story. But yeah, that was kind of the secret until the documentary, Muscle Shoals documentary came out in 13. And then the secret was out that it was, you know, it was the musicians, the Muscle Shoals musicians that were the Swampers. And, but yeah, that documentary did wonders for us. And it finally answered the question of what is a Swamper?
Yep, exactly.
You know,
exactly. Yeah, I watched the documentary. Amazing, man. I mean, Jesus, just wow.
Yeah, they did a really good job. Stephen Badger and Freddie Camilleri, the producers and director on that, and they did an amazing job. And it was scary because, you know, I knew who was in it, and it could have been terrible because it was us. You know, could have gone either way here. And the funny thing is, there was another documentary being shot. They were trying to shoot at the same time on the same basic story. And it was
really?
Who could get it out first. And these guys had the money and had the power and knew the right people and, you know, pulled the right strings and made it happen and made it great. I mean, and I got to say, there's the cinematographer is a guy named Tony Arndt.
Yeah.
He made it look beautiful and just stunning.
Absolutely, man.
That was a blessing from God for sure for Muscle Shoals.
Definitely.
So you did a record, the Revivalist, your band did a record with Muscle Shoals called Made in Muscle Shoals.
Yep.
It's an EP.
Yep.
A little mini documentary about it. How did that come about? I know I got a call from Morgan Young, your manager. Wanting to check about studio time. It's like, for the Revivalist, I was like, hell yeah, bring them on. I'd love it.
Yeah, you know, man, it kind of developed pretty organically. We knew that we wanted to kind of reimagine, you know, some of these songs in Muscle Shoals, just to kind of see how the room would guide us.
Right.
You know, and as we're kind of talking about that and thinking about that, you know, it was like, okay, well, why don't we tell more of a story here? Why don't we, you know, because like, you know, who knows how many of our fans have heard of Muscle Shoals, you know, right. Fame Recording Studios. So we just thought it would be cool to shine a little light and a little love, you know, on a place that has been just so amazing to American music. I mean, it's like, it's just one of those places where like alchemy exists, you know, and, you know, I think you guys, I think, you know, Rick and everyone involved really set up a special vibe to where the musicians could feel comfortable. You know, it's not, and I think that is really where the magic lies. It's in comfort. It's not in this, you know, $30 billion studio that you got all this stuff that just like, you know, and it's just like, you kind of start getting in your own way at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that was just so amazing about the studio, about Fame Studios. And we just, you know, we wanted to shine a light on that and just kind of get a little bit of that vibe and just see how that could, you know, manipulate our songs and see, you know, just manipulate our spirit as well, you know? So.
Right. So for those listening that don't know, the album is they went in and reimagined some of their hits. I Wish I Knew You, and as well as some of the other things, and they cut some new things, right?
Yeah. We cut Bitter End, and that was a song that Andrew, our drummer, had written. He had that flying around for a little bit. But yeah, we also just thought, like, the Wish I Knew You version, it was like, that was a song that, I mean, it's kind of got this like disco vibe on the record.
Right.
And it was like, okay, well, how can we reimagine this in a way that like fits what we're doing here, fits the room, fits the sound of us and Muscle Shoals? Cause we wanted to kind of, you know, bring that all together in an artistic way. And there was this like longing that I've always kind of felt that the song had, that kind of maybe got a little bit, I don't want to say overlooked, but just kind of washed over a little bit, just because of like the, you know, the beat and just the up tempo-ness of it. Right. So I was like, okay, look, maybe we slow it down, maybe we make it a little haunting, and kind of turn the song around that way. And yeah, I can't tell which version I'm partial to at this point.
I hear you. I tell you, I had been out of the studio for a little bit, and I walked into the room, and you and PJ, I know, and
yeah,
Zach, I think we're doing it a cappella.
Yeah,
I just got chills immediately, you know, when I walked into the room. So,
dude, you and me both. I honestly felt that moment. It was it was me, Michael, PJ, and Rob. We were singing together, and just to feel those, you know, every voice together as one, not like, you know, we weren't like all isolated. There was nothing, none of that going on. It just felt good, man.
All my friends. No, go to the Muscle Shoals video. All right, I want to play. It's 17 minutes long, so I'm not gonna play the whole documentary. But I want to play just a little bit of the first of that of the mini doc that y'all made while you were here.
Cool.
The Revivalists of Muscle Shoals.
All right.
We are in Muscle Shoals, Alabama at the famous, the legendary Fame Studios.
This place is hallowed ground right here. I mean, it was responsible for some of the most prized songs of the 60s and 70s. I mean, you got hits from Otis Redding.
Percy Sledge.
Wilson Pickett. The Allman Brothers.
Aretha Franklin.
One word, Aretha. I mean, there's a lot of other ones, but like, Aretha.
There's a handful of studios like it, famous around the world, you know, Abbey Road, Muscle Shoals, Stax.
One of the premier recording studios in this country, dare I say the world.
A lot of history has been made here. You can tell shit went down here.
Like, I remember hearing a ton of the songs that were recorded here just like in my parents' car growing up on the radio.
So we're here to strip things down, kind of give a new perspective on some songs. We don't really know where things are gonna go.
We're here to make some music. We're here to share some more love with the world, to capture some more vibes.
You know, kind of take that with us and see if it helps us do what we do.
Yeah, that's a cool video. If you haven't, you guys need to go out and watch that doc. It's on YouTube.
Check it out.
It's called Revivalist Made in Muscle Shoals. It's very, very cool piece. I was glad y'all shot that while you were here.
Oh, dude. Thanks for letting us do it. You know,
absolutely. Great. Absolutely. So the band started in 2007, right? In New York.
Yep.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about how you guys got started? I know it's a long story, but you don't have to go through the whole thing. But
absolutely. For sure.
It's a cool story.
Yeah, man. It is. Let's see here. I moved down to New Orleans, in 2007. I was I'd been there probably 2 weeks. I was working for the gas company. I just got off. I was I think I was having a Budweiser on my front porch, shirtless. I was working on a song, and here comes this guy home riding home from class on his bike. He stops and I stop playing, and he goes, "Oh man, you know, keep playing. Don't stop because of me." And so I was like, "Well, all right, I'll do the song, you know." And so I finished the song, and this happened to be Zach, by the way,
right?
And he, you know, he kind of came up. We kind of struck up a conversation. I passed the guitar to him, and he played a little Mississippi John Hurt Candyman. And if you know about that, it's kind of like this alternating, you know, about that kind of alternating bass pattern, pick pattern kind of thing for the listeners. So I knew he had some skills. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, this is not just some normal cowboy chord situation here. You know, this dude knows what he's doing. So that was really like, wow, okay, all right, this is a good place to be. So yeah, and we just kind of, you know, ended up hanging out the rest of the day. And like I said before, he burned me the all these songs, you know, that I started to listen to, and you know, our friendship grew. And he knew Andrew from Andrew, who is our drummer, from Tipitina's workshops, and our drummer knew George, the bass player, from, they went to school together, Loyola. And let's see here, I'm going to quickly go through the ranks here. And then Zach knew Rob from class. They actually had a psychopharmacology class. Michael Gerardo, our keys player and trumpet player, was in basically every band in the city. So why not join ours? Ed, we were kind of messing around with a little side project, and then our band kind of started to pick up, and it was like, well, you know, we're just going to put this down. Let's just do the band. And then now we've added PJ, who plays auxiliary percussion and second kit, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. It's a big band.
It is a big band. And it's a little different instrumentation. You don't often see rock guitars with steel guitars and horns.
Yeah.
But it works very well. Very well. Ed's a great steel player.
Thank you, man. It's interesting. It was always one of those things where it was like, people always would ask us like, well, what made you want to get a saxophone and a pedal steel, or, you know, like what, you know, it was just like, it that wasn't something, we didn't decide that. It just happened.
It decided for itself. Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, that's a great combination in the way you guys do it. And with your voice, it just works, man. It's just very cool.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
So tell me about your pants and how they got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nice. Oh my God. So, it was this show, we were playing. It was Okeechobee Fest. And, it was a midday set, hot as all hell. Oh my God. This place is packed. I mean, crazy. And I am, I'm out in the middle of the crowd. I'm like, you know how when they have the barricade that goes up the middle, you know, and it kind of divides the crowd basically.
Right.
Well, I'm in there, and I'm kind of like climbing up on the, you know, thing, kind of messing with the people. And as I'm kind of going back, I fall down, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I had basically put about a 3-inch gash in the top side of my head right here. And I get up on stage, and oh my God, I'm singing. I think we're Fade Away, maybe, I want to say. I can't remember exactly, but people start looking at me going, "Hey, look, look." And I'm like looking around. What? And I'm like trying to like sing. I'm like messing up. And I'm like, "Oh God, what's going on?" Like, is somebody like, they're like, you know, and then it just starts going. The blood just is, I mean, then that's when I tasted it, man. And it was just like, once again, I mean, I'm going to use it again. I'm going to use the cow pissing on a flat rock. That's what was coming out of my head.
I hear you. That's
crazy. I mean, it was crazy. And so, yeah. So, you know, they asked us, they contacted our management and, you know, said, "Hey, are there, you know, any stories, you know, about, you know, that you would maybe, you know, have, for any pieces of clothing, you know, that would be, you know, memorable." And they brought up that. And so, yeah, they have the shoe, they have my, red Doc Martens and, my pants from that day.
That's
that are completely ripped in the crotch, by the way.
Rock and roll, man. Rock and roll.
I don't know how that happened.
I saw a video on YouTube one time where Van Halen was doing a show. It was like Good Morning America or something. And David Lee Roth got hit with a steel ball and his tooth knocked his tooth out. Yeah, it was crazy. Mike Stan, I don't remember, but he knocked his tooth out and he they stopped for a minute and then they came back out and he finished the song, did it. Crazy.
Wow. Somebody threw something?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like, That's messed up.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. So
you guys first couple records you released yourselves, right?
Yep. Yeah, we released our EP, released Vital Signs, and we released City of Sound on our own. But then City of Sound got picked up and re-released by Wind Up Records. And
right.
Then we go on our path of many labels, different situations and whatever.
Yeah, so that's, you know, in today's landscape, the music business has changed so much over the last 20 years. I mean, that's a good way to go. Would you recommend that for a young band?
I recommend putting your own stuff out and growing it organically?
Doing the self-release thing.
You know, I think there's definitely something to that, especially nowadays. You know, so I would say get it as big and as badass as you possibly can on your own.
Right.
Because that's when, you know, that's when there's going to start being eyes on you. And then you're going to be able to be in a position to make the decision from a place, you know, of power.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you're going to say, "Okay, well, I've already done all this on my own. What can you offer me? Because I'm already here moving and shaking. I got this income stream. I got that income stream. I'm selling merch over here to this," but you know, it's like, so I think it really behooves the artist, especially nowadays, to grow it as big as they possibly can organically. And especially, hopefully, you know, when we get back to touring, tour, if that's where you're, you want to be,
right?
Because that really helped our band, you know.
I think, you know, and in my opinion, in today's world, that is the only way to do it. Record labels, any size record label, are not looking to develop artists anymore. They're not going to find an artist and spend 3 or 4 years developing them. They're looking for artists already, which means they're already out there. They have product out. Their social media numbers are good.
Yep.
They're looking at, they're doing, you know, those things. You really can't. I mean, I hate to use the word can't, but I think it's very, very hard to do it the old school way anymore of just, we're going to cut something and go play it for a label. And they go, "Oh, this is great. Let's spend."
Exactly. There's so much out there. And I mean, it's like, I read something on the other day. It was a crazy, crazy thing. I want to say there's something like 24,000 songs released every single day, or or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. There's more music being released now than there's ever been. There's no gatekeeper. It's, you know, it's self-serve, records.
Exactly. It's wild. It's wild. So yeah, you gotta be creative, and you gotta kind of, you know, do the things, you know, that, you know, kind of try to break the mold a bit, you know, just.
Yeah. So yeah, I grew up around the music business my whole life, and people. Oh, yeah. I know you probably have heard it, and I've always heard it. You know that it's this glamorous life, and there's not a, you know, it's music. There's no work. What are you talking about? But you know, they don't know about those hours with, you know, seven or eight guys in a van traveling all over the country, which is how you do it and how you make it happen.
Yes,
that a little bit, just about the, you know, and I guess what surprised you when you started making music as to how hard it was?
It was, you know, it's one of those things where you have got to, you know, I'll just say, you know, when you're coming up and, you know, you're doing that, you know, you're playing every single little nook and cranny all over the, you know, US, you know, that's basically what we did. We played every bar from, you know, Key West to friggin' Maine to Seattle to down by Tijuana, you know, and everything in between. And it's only honestly until you get some space away from that, or just for me, my perspective anyways, is like, I didn't realize, just like, it's tough to realize how far you've kind of come, you know, and then you go, oh my God, like, wow. Like, it took every single little interaction, every single little person. You meet this guy here and he knows this. You meet this girl there. She knows somebody who brings you over here to this person. This little piece of luck happens.
Amen.
And it's basically just like,
amen.
You have to just, you know, it's everything, basically. It's all of that stuff. And yeah, it takes a lot of luck. It takes a lot of perseverance. It takes some stupidity, damn near.
No doubt, man. It's, you know, it's the networking, it's the meeting people, and you never know
who
you're talking to. You never know. You know, they could have on overalls and a toothpick in their mouth, and they may, you know, have a friend that is, you know, the head of some huge management company or the head of some TV network or whatever. You just never know. It's just, it's crazy. But there's so much work that goes behind the scenes with not just the musicians, but I mean the managers, the agents.
Oh yeah.
You know, the road crews.
Absolutely. God bless the road crews. Oof.
Publicists, marketing people, you know, publishers. It's people don't realize what a huge undertaking it is just to do a record. We were talking about that earlier, you know, that you first solo project to produce and to do it all. Kind of have to be involved in every step of the way, and it's just so much to it.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea, you know, because with the band, you know, it's just like, yeah, you got six other guys to kind of lean on for, you know, make this decision or make that decision or do this or whatever, you know, but literally every single request is just funneled into, what do you want to do, Dave? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know, so it's like, It's good. You know, it's it's sharpening my blade. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's making me be better at my craft. It's making me learn the business in a much more intimate way than I had ever known it before.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, that's for me, that's super important to just kind of, you know that and just to feel that and just get that whole thing of like, oh man, okay, this is what this is and this is what this is. Yeah, so it's been good.
Yeah. After a bit, though, I bet you might have been started going, man, I kind of miss those guys.
Oh, I always miss them for sure. No, it's
yeah, but I you mean, know, that's
the like, thing. We've been getting together. We've been rehearsing probably twice a week. So we're kind of, we live in the same town too. So it's not like,
I've seen a lot of bands and a lot of people come in here. You guys have a great energy and a great, you know, you work together great, and it's always fun to see when that happens. But I've seen the other side of that too, with bands that are, you know, like brothers, but they fight like cats and dogs, and it's just everything to battle, and it just makes it hard, makes it not fun, you know.
I think our band has a healthy amount of that, I would say. You know, it's kind of like it's a normal amount of, like, you know, because we are like brothers, you know. So sometimes, you know, you get in the practice room and it's like one guy's doing this and one guy's doing that, and it's like, well, hold on, what are we doing, guys? Let's get on the same page. And, you know, and sometimes opinions don't, you know, line up, but that's just life, you know. Yeah, so exactly. we have a healthy balance of the good and the bad, I would say, I guess, you know.
So I want to play a track that you guys cut here at the studio. It's called Oh No. And I love this track, and I love the guitar tone, man. When it opens up, it's just like, whoa, that's cool. That is so cool. So play a little bit of that. I'm not going to play the whole thing, so we can get back and ask a few more questions. And if anybody in the audience has any questions, just please just comment in the on Facebook comments, and we'll see if we can get to them. All right, here we go. This is called Oh No, The Revivalist. That's pretty badass. Zach's guitar on that is very cool.
You know, an interesting little tidbit on that. So that was the tone on that. So the tone on the record was literally, we took the demo guitar basically and played to that.
Gotcha.
The demo guitar, like not that version, but the one that's on the record, we just took that out of the demo, basically, that I made at the house, and the whole band just tracked to that, because we could not, we couldn't regenerate, you know, just exactly how it sounded, because it was like in my studio, you know, it's like I'm pretty unconventional in the ways I get certain sounds, like, cause I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just kind of like experimenting here and experimenting there. And sometimes it sounds cool and sometimes it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Right. This is one of those times where like it just worked and we kept trying to get it, And it was just like, you know what? Let's just not do that. Let's just use this. That was Dave Cobb was like, let's just do this. Let's just do it.
Yeah. So how'd you like working with Dave? I love Dave. He's a great producer and a great guy.
Yeah, Dave was great, man. We learned a lot from him.
Did y'all do the record at Studio A?
Yes. There in Nashville. Yeah, it was a trip, man. I mean, we recorded a lot of the songs just all in the same room. I mean, my vocals were like blasting out. I'm not even in a vocal booth. I'm just like singing into a transistorless 57 in the same room. And my vocals actually even going into the room on these big loudspeakers.
Right.
But just like, that was like just how we did it for a few of the songs. And it was really, really cool. Like just captured a vibe, man. It was super cool.
Yeah. Very cool. So you guys opened for the Stones for some shows, right?
We opened in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Them, that was a trip, man.
Man, that's just like, whoa, surreal, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm sure.
Was it a stadium?
It was a stadium. Yeah, it was the. I want to say maybe it was the Jaguars. Was it the Jaguars Stadium? I think.
Yeah. Very cool. So did you get any? Did you get to hang with them any?
We got to meet them. I wouldn't call it like a hang, but right. You know, kind of. Took a little picture, you know. Let's see here, a funny little story. So we're lining up, and he didn't try to do this, but it just kind of like happened that way. And so Mick comes in, and he stands right next to me, and Keith kind of comes on the other side and stands by Ed and Zach. But Mick had stood right in right in front of Andrew and Charlie Watts looks at Andrew and goes, "Lead singers." it was like too perfect, man. It was classic.
It is totally classic. So I was scheduled to come see you guys at the Brooklyn Bowl in Nashville for their grand opening. And I think that the whole COVID thing hit a couple days before when they started shutting everything down and they shut that down. I was going to come to Jazz Fest to see you guys too. So when do you think you're going to get back on the road?
Oh man, I mean, I hope it's going to be, I'm thinking, you know, hopefully something, you know, kind of May, April at the early,
It's hard to know, isn't it?
It's hard to know. I mean, we did just get some, you know, potentially some good news with this, you know, potential vaccine, you know.
Right.
It's a little scary, but like, who knows?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's kind of our industry, I will say, is pretty much hinged upon, you know, a viable vaccine, you know, working for the people.
The first one's out. And we'll be the last ones back.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
we also had David scheduled to play on our 60th anniversary show. It was supposed to be tomorrow. Actually,
I know
that was canceled. It had already been canceled once in 4th of July. So now we're back to 4th of July next year. So we'll have to get in touch with you guys.
I'm there, man.
It'll be 4th of July will be a better time to do it anyway. It's the show's going to be on the river and it's.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. So it looks like our time is about up. So I'm going to sign us.
Damn, that was fast.
I know, it was an hour. It's like, it seemed like it'd been 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed talking to you. I sure appreciate you doing this and love having you in the studio, man. You've got a great voice and you know, just the band is just
a really
cool band, and you guys need to check them out. I saw y'all in Nashville with Anderson East
Yeah,
I think it was last year. It was a great show, and both of you, what a great pairing.
Yeah, man, Anderson, he's great.
He's recorded here as well.
And, yeah,
just a
hell of a voice. Hell of a voice.
Yes, yes, he does. And David and the band have such great energy. You need to go see them if you haven't seen them live. You need to go check them out. It's a show. It's a rock and roll show, and you'll leave happy and. You'll want to go see them again. So we're gonna close it out here with the version you guys did of All My Friends here at Fame. And once again, David, thanks, and we will catch up with you soon.
Awesome, man.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Right. Take it easy. Peace.
All my friends take good care of me. Wherever I go, they bring me home when I got no place to be. All my friends take good care of me. They give me high, they're on my side, as far as I can see. Yeah. I'm in my 20s, living reckless. So turn the hourglass over and let's wreck this. It's a brand new world, I got a brand new heart. And every day I get that brand new start. I'm in my 20s, not in a hurry. I got a bulletproof chest so you can hurt me. It's a brand new world, I got a brand new heart. And every day I get that brand new star. And I'm a mover, got a vision coming from afar. They're gonna take me back the way you are. I'm in my 20s, not getting restless. I got some heat now on my diamond necklace. It's a brand new world, I got a brand new heart. And every day I get that brand new star. Gone off the rails, but I know it's okay, 'cause I do it so well.